On April the 3rd, the European Parliament passed a resolution on the EU strategy toward Iran, accusing Iran of human rights violations and branding its elections undemocratic. Iran's government has responded by saying the resolution is tantamount to interference in the country's internal affairs. In this episode of Iran Today, we will take a look at the European Parliament's resolution against Iran and discuss related issues. Iran's foreign ministry spokeswoman Marzia Afkham called it unfounded and unacceptable. The resolution stated that any future parliament delegations to Iran should be committed to meeting members of the political opposition and civil society activists, and to having access to political prisoners. Iran's president dismissed the resolution as worthless. This is not the first resolution passed by the European Parliament against Iran. In the past 4 years, it has passed more than 60 resolutions against the Islamic Republic. But this time, it seems the resolution is critical because Iran and three European countries, plus the US, Russia and China, are negotiating on Iran's nuclear program to reach a comprehensive agreement. Many political observers say the resolution will affect the nuclear talks. Iran's foreign ministry summoned the Greek ambassador on Sunday in protest to the resolution passed by the European Parliament. Greece currently holds the rotating presidency of the EU. Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif, speaking to the parliament, dismissed the resolution and said the EU parliament was not in a position nor has the moral authority to take such measures against his country.
They had such a behavior in the past. Currently, the EU does not have an organic unity. It actually follows the US policies. Some analysts believe that the EU acts as a state of the United States.
While the resolution demanded member countries carry out all the preparatory work for the opening of a Union delegation in Tehran by the end of 2014, Iran's foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, said Iran will not allow any parliamentary delegation from Europe to travel to Iran if the conditions included in this European Parliament's resolution stand.
According to the European anti-Iranian resolution, they did not want to open a Union delegation in Tehran to promote their relations with the Islamic Republic. The rhetoric in the resolution shows that they intended to open an office of sedition. They wanted to open an office to create crisis in the country. In the clause about opening a Union delegation, it says they should open an office in order to make political effects in Iran rather than promote their relations with the country.
European countries, including Germany, France, and 28 other countries, have embassies in Tehran. So what does a Union delegation mean? What would be the function of this office? If embassies of the European countries and this office intend to do the same things, why should be such an office opened?
The European Parliament's resolution passed against Iran said the human rights situation in Iran is still characterized by the continued systematic violation of fundamental rights. The resolution accuses Iran of violating human rights when it comes to ethnic and religious minorities.
It's the European Union that is violating the human rights of every Iranian, anyone that lives in Iran, because of these illegal sanctions that are supposed to be crippling the Iranian people. This is what they said. They said these are crippling sanctions. And when you're sanctioning a country, normally the leaders of that country are not affected. The people who are in the society, especially the lower segments of the society, will be affected much more than anyone else. Their human rights, the human rights of Iranians, are being violated by the European Union. And it is very amazing for the same people who are violating the rights of Iranians, for them to claim to be interested in human rights here. And then they claim to want to support a very small minority within Iran, sort of hitting everybody else in the head, violating everybody else's human rights, violating everybody that lives in Iran's human rights because of the sanctions that they have imposed.
In Iran, there are various ethnic and religious groups with different languages that are living together while practicing those religions and speaking their own languages. Respecting the rights of minorities is one of the key policies of Iran's government. Iran's constitution stipulates that the official religion of Iran is Islam, and other Islamic schools are respected as well, and their followers are free to perform their religious rites. Zoroastrian, Jewish, and Christian Iranians are recognized religious minorities who, within the framework of the law, are free to perform their religious rites and ceremonies.
Our constitution has recognized the minorities' rights. Article 13 of the constitution states that religious minorities like Jews and Zoroastrians have their own rights. They can perform their religion in their domestic life, will, rituals, and even in education. There are many schools in Iran for minorities. For example, Armenians have their own schools.
For roughly every 150,000 Iranians, there is a representative in Iran's parliament. The population of each of Iran's minorities is less than 150,000, but there are two seats for the Armenian community and one for each other minority, including the Assyrians, the Jews, and the Zoroastrians.
If a normal procedure was followed, you would not have even one single representative from any religious minority. And today in Iranian parliament, you see two representatives from the Christian community. You have one Jewish representative, one Zoroastrian representative. These representatives would not be in the parliament if people wanted to just vote based on the number of people. Since they are not a majority anywhere, their candidate would not have been able to enter the Iranian parliament. So how did they enter? Because of a special clause in the Iranian constitution that gives these minorities a seat in the Iranian parliament, a guaranteed seat in the Iranian parliament.
In response to the European Parliament's resolution, Iranian parliamentarians cancelled their visit to the European Parliament and issued a statement, signed by 258 Iranian lawmakers, calling it blatant interference in Iran's internal affairs. Iranian MPs stated that the spirit of the resolution contradicted the strengthening of ties between Iran and the European Union. Moreover, they emphasized that the European Parliament lacks the political weight to comment on this issue.
Many parliaments in Europe try to develop their relations with us, and we welcomed them. But about the European Parliament, we responded to them by issuing a statement against their resolution. Also, we cancelled our parliamentarians' visit to the EU despite their requests. We refused to send our delegation to Europe in response.
Iran's government states that all official ethnic and religious groups have their share of political power. Moreover, immediately after the formation of its cabinet, President Hassan Rouhani urged his administration to invite politicians from minority groups into the government. He also created a new post, appointing someone to advise him on affairs related to ethnic and religious minorities. Ali Younesi is President Rouhani's special advisor regarding minority groups.
The Iranian nation is composed of various religious and ethnic groups. Their religious and ethnic differences can be looked positively. These differences can be used to strengthen the national unity in the country. On the other hand, these differences can be looked negatively in a way that they make threats against the national unity. So the president thinks ethnic and religious minorities deserve special attention by the administration.
On the other hand, there is huge pressure on some minorities in Europe. The result of the recent municipal elections in France showed that the right-wing anti-immigrant National Front Party won control of 11 town halls and a large district in the port city of Marseille. In order to hinder the rising influence of Islam in French public life, the party prevented schools from offering non-pork alternatives to Muslim pupils in the 11 towns. Pork is forbidden under Muslim dietary laws. Meanwhile, France has 5 million Muslims. The National Front leader, Marine Le Pen, said we will not accept any religious demands in school menus. There is no reason for religion to enter the public sphere. That's the law, so they have to eat pork or starve.
The main reason behind the issue is Islamophobia. They try to introduce an awful and frightening image of Islam and Muslims to the world. I think the EU will be the loser of the game, because world nations are currently well aware of Islam. In every place in EU countries, you can find a minaret next to the steeple. They are frightened of this.
While Iran is officially designated as an Islamic republic, Christianity is a recognized religion in Iran, and Christians are a small but important minority. In Iran, there are many churches for Christians to worship in and perform their religious rites. While accusing Iran of violating human rights, EU countries openly violate the basic rights of their own minorities. The UN Human Rights Committee in 2012 issued a binding decision that found France in violation of Article 18 related to religious freedom of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. French law prevents primary and secondary school children of Muslim, Sikh, and Jewish communities from freely exercising their religious beliefs.
What we have in a number of European countries, like France, that claims to actually be in the forefront of human rights issues, is discrimination, sort of official discrimination against the Muslim minorities. With regard to where they can worship, they have to get a permit from the French government, and these permits are not given easily for Muslims to have a place of worship for their own as they wish to have.
Approximately 400,000 Roma